First of all, why did Ed Bill decide to put out a report about breakaway school districts seceding from their home school districts?
Well, Ed Bill has been focused on the negative externalities of how we fund schools for the past 2.5 years. And we really felt like these were kind of tangible stories that highlight just how broken our school funding system is. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, we could tell this story from the perspective of a national trend that's happening. And so that's why we did the 50-state policy survey and why we're putting the report out.
And how did you do the report? Where does the data come from?
So we reviewed all of the state codes, found the relevant citations in each code. We followed up usually with the Attorney General's office in each state to ensure that we had the right read on the code. The majority of states did confirm that our read on their laws were correct. And so we aggregated all of the state laws from kind of a series of critical questions that we were asking. You know, do states require a study of the actual racial or socioeconomic effects of these kinds of secessions? Do states require that there be a consideration of the funding effects of these secessions? And what we found was startling in that most states do not require any consideration of what's happening with the children that are being left behind.
And why is that important? What's the long-term impact on students when neighborhoods pull out of larger school systems?
I mean, there's two real negative consequences. The first is that we know that integration, both socioeconomic and racial integration, is good for not just minority and poor students, but all students who attend integrated schools. More importantly, this is a story of how our school funding system is creating gulfs that are further dividing the haves and have-nots. The students who are being left behind tend to be left behind in impoverished, denser, poor districts. And you're really talking about kind of consigning an additional class of students to a lower class in our society. We're furthering the financial divide between the haves and have-nots. We are now seeing schools that are better and more resourced because wealth is being kept in these micro units. And when these communities secede, they take with them not only their property value and obviously then their property taxes, but also an easier ability to pay those taxes. And so we're leaving a larger number of students behind whose families have to tax themselves at a higher rate just to keep up with the loss of revenue.
The report calls the number of attempted school secessions, I think it was 71 since 2000, is that right?
Those are the ones that we've been able to identify. We know that there must be other communities that have been talking about it, but these are efforts that have raised to the level of awareness where there was either a report in a newspaper or something else that we could verify where we could determine that there actually was a pretty significant attempt to do so.
And the report calls that number alarming. It's alarming for the reasons that you just described, but is the pace of this really different from the original white flight after the sort of massive resistance to Brown versus Board of Ed?
I think the reason it's alarming is because it's state-sanctioned segregation. When you look at the total number of attempts at 71, a majority of them have actually succeeded. 47 school districts out of 71 attempts have actually been successful. There are another 9 that are currently ongoing, and that's not even counting Gardendale. And so it's not necessarily that it's an alarming trend because of the numbers. It's an alarming trend because we're seeing legislatures and courts permitting this even in the shadow of Brown.
Have you or your researchers come across situations where the new district, the breakaway district, got in over its head financially or maybe in other ways?
We did. So we've talked with some folks on the ground in Louisiana, and we have heard that the city of Baker, who had pulled out of their larger county several years ago, is actually facing financial concerns and constraints now. So sometimes, you know, in the case of just in the name of local control, school districts are finding themselves unsustainable once they break away. And that's one of the reasons why we really focused on the fact that the state law is permitting this activity to occur without even considering what this may mean to the fiscal health of school districts and communities.
So it may be an understatement to say Alabama figures prominently in the report. It even calls school secession in the greater Birmingham area a, quote, tragic local tradition. Why is school secession so prevalent in Alabama and here in Jefferson County?
Well, Alabama certainly has one of the most permissive laws that allow for secessions to occur. In Alabama, any city that has more than 5,000 residents can negotiate with the county and become their own school district. And it's actually easy for a municipality to be created in Alabama as well. Starting with literally 300 people, cities can kind of amass territory of these municipalities in order to create their own school district. And so there are two routes into segregation along socioeconomic lines in Alabama. And so, you know, certainly the permissiveness of the law is one of the driving factors. Second factor is, again, just the way that schools are funded out in Alabama, the ability to keep locally raised, locally governed property taxes certainly provides the incentive for these districts to do so. And what we've seen in Gardendale and other places, even when there's an active desegregation order in place, very few courts can actually stop this, and that's because of the longstanding history of Milliken v. Bradley at the Supreme Court level.
And I guess, you know, a lot of this does come back to race, does it not?
Yeah, you know, I think that, unfortunately, race is inextricably linked to socioeconomics. We actually come at this from the perspective that communities are being provided the incentive to break away from larger municipalities because they get to keep their wealth. You can't blame communities for trying to do so. They're always going to want to provide for their kids. This is a school funding system and a set of laws that are providing the incentive and allowing that to occur. So, you know, we don't want to necessarily say that this is race-motivated, certainly not in all cases that we've studied. Have we seen evidence that it's race-motivated? But we do believe it's socioeconomically motivated, and unfortunately that's also linked to race in our country.
How about in Gardendale specifically?
I mean, what we know is that the judge did find some level of evidence that she believed that there were some racially segregating motives behind the Gardendale effort. You know, one of the things that was striking to us, though, is that the city of Gardendale was saying, look, there have been so many other neighborhoods that have seceded under this existing desegregation order over the past decade. Why can't we? And so in Gardendale and in Jefferson County, this is a story of precedent more than anything else.
I noticed the report compares Gardendale with Beverly Hills, California. Why is that?
If Gardendale is granted the ability to secede, their poverty rate will be lower than that of Beverly Hills, California.
One problem that Jefferson County in general, not just in the school system, but in general faces, I mean, you can trace it back to the school systems, but we are such a fragmented patchwork of municipalities. What's wrong with that?
Well, there's kind of three problems there. The first is that, as we pointed out in our fault lines report last year, the divisions in Jefferson County along school district lines are so intentionally gerrymandered that they're creating some of the biggest gulfs in socioeconomic segregation in the country. So the first problem is that it creates huge gulfs in the haves and have-nots. You know, the second problem is just really the notion of inefficiency. Whenever you're breaking apart a, you know, larger kind of logically functioning municipality, you end up in a place where you start duplicating and tripling the costs associated with providing education to students. So in very micro school districts like that of Gardendale, you'll be replicating a superintendent and administration and, frankly, just further burdening the taxpayers in order to kind of create this notion of local control. So the divide and the gulf in resources, but there's also just an efficiency argument that should be made here as well.
So boiled down, what should people know about this report?
So the main takeaway from our perspective is this is a confluence of three things that need to change. The first is that Milliken v. Bradley, when settled by the Supreme Court, made borders impermeable, therefore cementing the use of new school district lines in order to segregate along race or class lines. The second is that our state funding structures for education provide all of the incentive in the world in order to break off and keep local wealth to local schools, and that legislatures are complicit and sometimes actively enabling for this to occur. And so there are three critical checkpoints that are intended to ensure that our most vulnerable children will not be left behind. Those are the courts, the state, and our funding systems, and in all cases, those are breaking down.
So what do you see as some solutions to this situation?
Well, certainly, making secession difficult would be the first step. Not necessarily to make it difficult for difficult sake, not build bureaucracy, but certainly ensure that there is going to be a concerted focus on whether or not this is going to create racial socioeconomic segregation, whether or not this is going to create massive disparities in the funding and resources available for schools, whether or not the folks who are going to be left behind also agree that this is a good move. You know, there are a number of provisions that we've called out in state code that we actually believe to be positive provisions that would prohibit something like this from arising from malicious intent. But even when we do see it being very difficult in state law, like in Louisiana, we've still seen that the will of the people will make this happen. Louisiana has opened its constitution a number of times in order to expressly create school districts that are now named in the constitution that are a departure from the way that they've organized their municipalities. So the real and ultimate solution here is to reduce the incentive to do so by changing the way we're funding schools and to go back to the Supreme Court and argue that school district borders should not be a means by which we can continue to segregate our children. This is ubiquitous. This is not just contained in the South, and there are active attempts right now that would be bad for kids. So thank you for calling attention to the report, and thanks for giving us the opportunity to share it with your listeners.